up on. It's good to see everybody here today. Glad that you are with us here on this beautiful spring morning. It's good that we are gathered in a good, comfortable place in order to worship and exalt the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a great day to be with you. We're excited to be here on this day. I had planned on starting a look over the book of Micah. The book of Micah, it's a minor prophet in the Old Testament. It's right after the book of Joel. It's a really exciting and interesting book, and we're going to look at it over the next few weeks. It's a short book. It's only 7 chapters, and we're not going to look at it as we normally do, verse by verse. We're going to look at some bigger themes in the book of Micah together, but I felt like I needed to pause. I needed to take a step back and make sure I'm ready for Micah. Let me just be honest with you. But as well, I felt like we needed some encouragement today. I felt like that we could all use that lift that we get from the promises of God. And I want to share that with you this morning from Exodus chapter 17. And in this book, I hope that it brings us a sense of hope, a sense of assurance of our great and awesome God. And the reason I wanted to go here today is because we all go through seasons of life. Now, I'm not talking about fall, winter, spring, and summer. I'm talking about seasons in our own lives. We have things that really can bog us down, that consumes our time for a period of time before we can get back to our regular schedule. Most of you are farmers or grew up on the farm, so this makes perfect sense to you, right? When the crops need to be planted, you plant the crops. And the old saying, right? You make hay when the sun's shining, right? And we all experience these. But life happens in a way, and we have seasons in various ways as well. Maybe in your life, you meet that special someone, and you begin a life together. And maybe one of your children are getting married. And there's a time in which you set up that wedding, you set up this new life together, you learn how to do life together. It's a season where everything else kind of gets put on hold, right? Maybe your job. There's certain times of the year, your job, you're putting in all the overtime that they'll allow you to have. And then there's other times that you're thinking about maybe getting a second job. Maybe with health. Maybe there's a sickness of some sort that you're having to deal with yourself or a loved one is dealing with. And your main focus is, let's get well. What do we got to do to get them well? And you put everything else on hold in order to do that. And maybe they're on calendars, right? You got your life, you got your family's life, you got holidays, you got vacations, you're trying to put all these things together, and the calendar just isn't favorable at all, is it? So we all experience these seasons of life that really consume our time, and we must give it a certain amount of attention, and sometimes we don't know how long this season's going to last. There's times that we put forth a lot of effort and we let some things go because of the attention needed over here. And what ends up happening is that the load, because it continues on for a period of time, is kind of heavy. Sometimes we think that we can handle it, we're good, until it goes on for an extended period of time. Then we need help. Then we need support. And we're going to get this lesson from Exodus chapter 17 this morning. And just a little bit of a background about Exodus 17 is that you know that Israel had went to Egypt because of the famine. But while they were there, some things began to happen and they find themselves enslaved. And God raises up Moses to go and get his people because he had made a promise 400 years earlier to Abraham, saying that I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. So he has to go get his people. So he sends Moses. Moses has to convince Israel, number one, to trust me to lead you out to this promised land. And he also has to convince Pharaoh to let my people go. So while they're on their way out, through some skirmishes and some things that took place, they're making their way through the parted Red Sea, and they find themselves in the wilderness. And while they're in the wilderness, they're setting up camp, setting up new lives in these tents, right? They're also setting up their independence. We are now free. What are we going to do? We don't have to worry about who's going to tell us what to do and have to be somewhere. We can make our own decisions, but we got to remain faithful to God. What does this look like for the Israelite nation, right? But also, they're now occupying a land that someone else has already occupied. So they find themselves in battles as they make their way through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. Well, today, we're going to see Israel in one of those battles. And we see this in Exodus chapter 17, beginning in verse 10. Says, so Joshua did as Moses told him, what Moses told him, and fought the Amalekites. While Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on top of the hill, whenever Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him to sit on, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other hand side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek. Heavenly Father, today we come before you with a simple passage of verse, but yet so extremely powerful. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that as we search ourselves, as we see the goodness of your grace and mercy, as we see the burdens within this world and within our own lives, Lord, I hope we find rest, refuge, and hope in your promises, in your grace, and in your mercy through your word. I pray that you hide me behind your cross in order that we can see you through your word rightly. And we pray that it be received as intended by your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a very popular story. One that we heard in VBS, maybe, which we've got coming up here real soon, right? Maybe through VBS, maybe a Sunday school lesson. It's a story that as a child we remember and we've heard and we've thought about how great, you know, God's power and the holding up and the support that Moses got. And it's a nice lesson as a child that we shared. But don't we need to be reminded of such a lesson throughout our life? We're not alone in this life. There's a great God, a great and glorious God that is always there, and he shows himself in so many ways, but he puts people in our lives to help us as we go through life. Yes, we're adults. Yes, we're capable. Yes, we're talented. But sometimes we need help. One time I had taken a short-term mission trip to Nairobi, Kenya. And on this trip, while in Nairobi itself, there was, let's call it unrest. There was riots happening and everything in town. But because we were outside of town, we didn't really know a whole lot that was going on. We didn't know the significance or the magnitude of all that it was, because we were in some, quite frankly, some pretty remote places. But we were there ministering, doing our thing, sharing the gospel, serving on various levels. But while we were there, we kind of noticed there toward the end that even the locals were starting to be a little unsettled with us being there. And really didn't pay much attention to it until one day we were in a village doing some ministry. And all of a sudden, the leader, the tour guide, if you will, for that the time that we were there, had kind of swooped in real quick and ushered us out and put us back in the vehicles and took us back to our houses. And it's at that point that we are expressed and told, rather, what all is really going on in the country. telling us that there is riots happening and there's a hostility escalating quite substantially, and that our security is their highest priority, so they decided to pull us out, and that there are certain things that we had planned to do that we were going to have to either postpone or maybe even cancel doing. Well, through all of this, they continued in saying, you know, we've got actually people outside like an Overwatch, and we've got people in our group that's actually carrying for your protection. Well, being from a military background, starting to see it as he begins to explain all this stuff to us, it's like, I saw that. You're right. Wow. Seeing all this, and with what I've been trying to do, I really, to be honest, was scared. Not too many things scared me in my life, but at that moment in my life, I was unsettled. I was scared. And because of my military background, I began thinking, what in the world? What can I make for a weapon? What do I need to be looking for? What's really happening here? How can I protect myself and those in my group? And as I'm mulling over these things in my mind, the conversation among the group is continuing God, and I overheard someone say the name God. And it quickly brought me back to understanding that what I was there for. I wasn't there in the military. I was there as a minister. And even though I had served in the military, and now after leaving the military, I've immersed myself in the ministry, I had probably forgotten for a moment that there's a really big, bad world out there that we're continuing to live in. Letting my guard down, unprepared. But then, with the reminder of a great God in control, reminding me while I was there, I was able to trust. God has put people in our lives, in this particular place, so that they, being prepared, knowing the culture, knowing what's going on, were able to protect us. I had to trust that God's going to protect me and protect our team and allow us to continue to do the ministry that we were called to do there. And I were to trust Him to do those things. But the thing that brought me the most solitude was just thinking about the people back home. Should I call them? Should I let them know what's going on? And then I thought, they're already praying for me. And for the first time in my life, the words, "Your prayers were felt," become real for me. Now, I've grown up in the church. I've been a praying man most all my life. I know that there's people out there. So if you've got a mom, you know you've been prayed for. Amen? I know my mom was praying for me. But to really know the magnitude of what those prayers meant on my behalf, they became real. And I could really say I was settled in knowing that someone was praying for me. Knowing that I was in the good hands. That there's no better place for me to be than to have someone praying on my behalf. And it taught me a grand lesson. And that when we pray for one another, we're trusting that God knows exactly how that prayer should go. We're praying just a general prayer. We're praying in a specific way on how we feel it should be. But a lot of times, we don't even really know what we're praying for. But God does. See, when they were praying for us to be successful in our ministry, they had no idea that God was hearing the prayers, but also adding to that prayer, we're going to keep them safe and get them back home. A week and a half after we got home, it broke out in the news that in that area that we was at, a week and a half later, there was civil war that broke out. And God had protected us and got us back home. Unscathed, no big issues of any kind. And the whole idea of people being there and praying for us was so amazing. And I did not feel alone. I felt like I had an extra amount of strength to be able to continue doing whatever it is that we needed to be doing because there were people praying. So we find ourselves in the life, going through struggles, going through hard times. And we trust, we have faith. We have friends, and we know that there's people praying for us. But sometimes we could use just a little more support, couldn't we? To get through these seasons that we find ourselves in. I'm a doer. And I know this, I'm saying I a lot in this sermon, so please forgive me. I hate talking about myself. It's not a very interesting subject, trust me. But I'm a doer. I just love doing things for people. In fact, when I become full-time pastor there several years ago, here's your office. And I'm thinking, this is a cage. You want me to be in this office all the time? I mean, this is not who I am. I need to be out and about. I need to be doing things. It lasted for a little while, but God blessed me with insight, being able to get out and do things. And I had the opportunity to, because of my abilities, I feel that I'm a jack of all trades, but master of none, right? So I could do a little bit of anything. And we give an opportunity for church members to bring their cars. And I would do a brake job, put a front wheel, hub wheel assembly on there, shocks and belts, and run diagnostics with a scan tool, and all this stuff right there in the driveway, alternators and batteries, just to help people out. Didn't charge them anything because the church was paying me, right? But to help them out because they needed somebody to work on their car. I had went and finished some drywall for a church member and helped them paint, lay some flooring, paint cabinets for people and stuff like that. I dug out a sewer line for a church member and helped them fix a broken pipe. To go and mow yards for church members because of the situation they found themselves in. Mowed it for almost a year and a half every week. Went in and put tobacco in for people because the rain was coming. Cut and house tobacco. I just love doing things. That's just me. I'm a physical guy. I've grown up blue collar. I'm active. I do things. That's the way I serve. But there's times that I can't do anything. There's times that I'm at a loss. I cannot help you. I can't fix this for you. Especially when it comes to medical things. Now, there was one time there was a church member that needed some IV, some saline run through. So every day for a month, I went to their house and I cleaned their port, hooked them up. After the saline was over, I threw everything, cleaned everything up, and went on. That's about as close as I got to medical stuff right there. But we all, regardless of our talent, regardless of our skills, we have our limits. We need to trust in a limitless God. And how we do that is we go before Him in prayer. And you might even make the statement, all I can do is pray. Have you thought about that statement for a minute? All I can do is pray. Isn't that the best thing we should do? If we think about it, we're going to trust in a holy, righteous God, creator of all things. We're going to go before Him interceding for another. That's the best thing to get. And in fact, even if we can go and build a fence, even if we can go and shovel or whatever we go to do to serve them, we should still be in prayer. Even though there's a physical need they have, there's also an emotional, there's also a spiritual thing going on with that same situation. Prayer should be the number one thing that we do in everything. Be willing to serve with the hands and the feet that God, hands and feet that God has blessed you with. But also know the best thing we can do is pray. And what do? We have to let others know what's going on. A lot of times people really don't want to know too much. I'm one of them. Just tell me how the bare bones thing you need me to know in order to pray for you. I don't need to know the details because we really don't want to share those details in a lot of cases either, right? Can you imagine having an entire church praying for you? How many hearts and minds are going before a holy God lifting you up, trusting Him to intercede for you. We all need help. Moses got tired. We're going to win this battle. God's going to show Himself through this battle. And he was willing to stand there with his arms raised. Though, as we all know, our arms can get tired. I'm going to take a break. Well, I can't take a break because I'm in this season of life. I've got to push on. Just know that as a body of believers, those joined here at Cropper Baptist Church, let me assure you, each and every one of you, you are not alone. You have a family of people around you that care for you, love you, and want to intercede for you as needed. We trust that you're going to continue to do the work on your own the best you can, but we are here for you, and no matter what you're going through, I don't want to belittle the issue that you're going through, and I don't want to magnify that what you're going through, because I've had conversations with plenty of you. I know that we all are carrying certain burdens. But no, you don't have to carry them alone. We are the church. It says Jesus, as was his custom, went before the Father. And we get a magnificent picture of what Jesus prayed one time in all of Scripture. It says that he prayed, as was his custom. But in John 17, Jesus prayed for you. We can pray for one another. Let us help you. Let us be the hands and feet for you, but most certainly allow us to pray for you. There's a lot of strength that can come, a lot of encouragement that can be provided when you know you got people on your side. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the God that you are, knowing that you are alive, that you are at work, that you are accomplishing your will despite us and sometimes because of us. Lord, we just praise your holy name because of the God that you are. That you never leave us. You never forsake us. Even when our minds are distracted and pulled away because of things that are going on in our life, you are still there. And you're waiting for us to cry out and allow you to show yourself in those situations. So we pray, Heavenly Father, now that we be reminded of the great and awesome God that you are. And may we trust you with all things. For you tell us in 1 Timothy 5:17, pray without ceasing. So we pray now before you, God, may we never forget that we should be dependent upon you and dependent upon those that you brought to our lives to be the Hur and to be the Aaron on our sides, supporting us as we allow you to do your work. And we pray all of this in the great name of Jesus Christ. Amen.